Four Player Podcast. This is episode 459. Nick's out this evening. He's taking a sabbatical up to, I think, DFW. There's something about Mormons. I can't remember exactly what he said. DFW.
He's getting some new shoes.
Sure, why not? All right, I'm going to be hosting this week. My name is Nolan Hedstrom. I'm joined by Mr. Christopher Guthridge.
Hey, how's it going?
Chris Davis.
Good evening.
And the ever-so-lovely Brad Simon.
Hello.
Yep. All right, so video games, quickly. Nick's not here. He's short. Let's do a short podcast. I've been playing The Witcher 3 Wild Hunt Blood and Wine expansion. Just came out the other day, and let me tell you, it's fucking amazing. So first off, before that, just slightly before that, they released a huge patch. I think it was like 5 gigs or something like that.
Yeah.
Complete overhaul of the UI. Looks amazing.
Is it finally, like, decent?
Dude, yeah. It's so fucking good now.
Yeah.
Like, one of the biggest problems with the UI beforehand was it just, there was like, oh, equipment. And it was just a big fucking list of swords and armor and
oils.
Shit. Yeah. Just this big fucking list of stuff you had to scroll through. Now they've split everything up, and in each column, there's like, here's all your swords. Here's all your armor. Here's all your oils. Here's all your potions. Here's all your, what's the other one? Like, other, like, decoctions. They've like split everything up. It's so much. Here's quest items. Like, it's all in their own little section. And like, it's so much better. It's just much more intuitive. Some of the fonts and stuff in the menus are better. I don't know. Like, I'm really appreciating this UI interface. And they improved it before Blood and Wine. And then when Blood and Wine came out, they even did a few more slight tweaks. And it's so good. It sucks that I played 140 something hours of this game with the shitty UI. And then now that I'm in the final expansion of the game, which is still 30 hours and like 90 quests, and now that I get the good UI to have fun with.
That kind of makes me feel good that I didn't finish it before.
Yeah.
I haven't even made it to
Skellige.
Skellige.
Yeah, I figured that's what you're going for. That's a big turning point
for
a lot of people.
Do you see it ever happening?
I want to go home and play it right now. Like, I was like, witch or whatever. And then he started playing the footage, and I'm like, fuck. I do want to go home and play it.
It's really good.
I mean, I haven't touched that game since, what, November, December? So, it's been a while. If these UI improvements, if this patch is as good as you say it is.
It's good.
Then I think I'll try it out. Plus, I do already have the first DLC, and I haven't even entered the code in for it yet.
That is so good, too.
All those changes couldn't have been just UI, so what else has changed?
I mean, they
I don't think you understand how fucked up the UI was.
Oh, I knew it was. I put 30 hours in the game.
I didn't read the patch notes, so I don't know everything. I didn't care what the patch notes said. I just booted up the game.
I mean, does
it.
The combat feel different? Is there a difference in character interaction?
Not really. I mean, they've to my knowledge, I'm
set
sure
bonuses.
Yeah. So I'm sure they've changed some things with that. I don't know what they are though. The combat still feels pretty much the same to me. What Brad had mentioned, another thing added to this one is that the Witcher gear, there's a lot of armor and weapons and stuff in this game, but there are some that are particularly Witcher. This is a Witcher set of armor. Witchers wear this type of
armor.
They have
the different schools.
Yeah, the different schools of Witcher. So you have the wolves, you have the griffins, you have the felines.
The cat. The bears.
The bear. The Ursine or whatever. And then they added a new one, which is the Manticore, in Blood and Wine. Yeah. But yeah, each set is really different. The feline is a light armor. It's more focused on rejuvenating stamina.
But the new thing.
Mm-hmm. I was just talking about the different sets. But the new thing they added is the more of a set you have, you start getting bonuses. So I think if you have four, is it three or four?
Three and then six.
Yeah, three and six. So if you have three pieces, you'll get like XYZ bonus. So for like the griffin, it was like what increased, like, because you were looking at it before the show.
Yeah. Well, I remember like the bonus to six is
Ryan's right, having some issues there.
Vin Diesel bubble.
Yeah.
It's all the yogurt.
I have the like it increases the
radius.
The radius of the
Yurden spell.
The Yurden sign like by 40%. And if you're you're in it, you're like constantly regenerating stamina like way faster. Also, it's adding, it's doing what I think the skill tree never did, which kind of hurt the skill system a little bit to me. And it's like dramatically modifying effects in like a noticeable way.
Yeah.
As opposed to like 2% more blah, blah, blah.
And that's the thing with a lot of the outfits in the game, you'll get like, 2% chance to poison. So, I mean, how often do you actually poison an enemy with that?
Yeah.
But then some of the benefits, I don't remember all of them. I switched to the Manticore, and I honestly can't remember what it is now, because I looked at each set, and I was like, all right, this is this. And I didn't go with, like, the Ursine or the Griffin, because I think those are, like, heavy armors, and I don't like heavy armors. I like the medium or the light. Yeah. And I didn't like the bonuses I got from Feline, so I ended up going with Manticore, and that's what I'm wearing in this footage, is the Manticore, and I think it looks fucking awesome. It's like more classic Witcher.
Yeah, it looks like his Witcher 1 outfit.
Witcher 1 outfit, yeah. And so I really fucking like it, but it's obviously like more modern. But yeah, it's akin to his Witcher 1 outfit, and I really thought it was cool. So that's the one I ended up going with.
How are the new hunting contracts?
Hunting? Oh, I haven't really...
Witcher contracts.
You're asking a lot of specific... You didn't ever... you played a little bit of the Witcher.
Wait,
30
wait,
hours,
wait,
I think
wait,
it's
wait,
a
wait,
significant
wait.
Amount.
Let's talk about some Gwent cards.
No, hold on.
Before I get to Gwent, before
that's
I get to
the
Gwent.
End of the footage.
Wait, can I ask like a more grander question
sure.
here? You opened by saying like, this is really, really, really great, this DLC.
Yep.
My question is it really, really great in the way that you already think Witcher 3 and all aspects of it?
Is it like
really
more
great?
Of the same?
Like, what about this DLC? How much have you played?
Oh, goodness, maybe 5 or 6 hours.
So far, is there anything about this DLC that's really standing out to you in a way that some of the other stuff did not? Like if someone's tired of The Witcher,
mm-hmm. so
what does this have to offer?
So one of the reasons I'm enjoying this so much, I can't talk about because it's spoilery.
Story
and it's
stuff.
Story related.
Okay.
So all of the stuff that made Hearts of Stone great, that concept.
Good characters.
Yes, but it's also book readers will really like this game.
Okay. All right, so backing up,
uh-huh.
I asked this earlier before the podcast. So I'm going to ask again. Where exactly does this take place? Is this after Witcher 3?
No, this depends. Yeah, I know what he's trying to do. But
I want to know about this game.
For all intents and purposes, it takes place after, because you have to be, all of the enemies in this area are like in like the 40s, like high 30s, like 40s. There's no way you can be that level and not have finished the main game.
Okay.
Like and that's one thing I've talked about. One of my biggest complaints, but I also understand why they did it for doing there are hundreds of hours. There are like at least 40, 50 hours worth of side quests in these games. If you do them, you'll maybe go up 2 levels. And I understand the reason they did that was because they didn't want you to get shit tons of experience and go into the final battle and just like one hit kill the boss.
Yeah.
They want
to make you earn it.
They want it to be, you know, story driven. That's what's important. So all of the experience in this game you get from the story quests, from the main quests.
Okay.
Like an example, the first main quest I did in this game, I got 1,000 experience, whereas side quests will give you like 50. I don't think it would be physically possible. I don't know if they'd let you. I mean, when Brad created a new character for the DLC, it put him 35,
uh-huh.
which is, you'd already be that level. I think by the end of Witcher, you're like mid-30s when you finish the game proper.
I'd say probably like 40.
No, because I started Heart of Stone when I was like 32.
And that was post.
That was post-credits, yeah.
Hmm.
Anyway, that's relevant. This game takes place after the main game. And I can say that just because one of the story quests I've done, either that story quest references something that happens post-game, or it's dynamic. I don't think it's dynamic. I think you pretty much have to beat the game to get to this.
Okay,
but that's almost irrelevant. It doesn't matter.
I mean, I asked because, you know, Hearts of Stone was, you know, took place during.
Yeah.
So.
I guess so. I mean, it took place during, I guess, but you had to beat the main game to get to it, pretty much.
Oh, really?
I booted up Hearts of Stone before I finished the game, and I couldn't fight a single enemy without breaking my weapon, because it took so many hits to do damage to them. Because, once again, the minimum like level you needed to be for Hearts of Stone was, like, 30. But, like, four story quests from the end of the main game proper, I was only level 28. Like, I really don't think they wanted you to go into these DLCs without beating the game first. That's almost irrelevant. It doesn't matter where you are. You'll play the DLC eventually if you want to, and I think you should. I'm only like three main story quests in. I've been doing a lot of the side stuff. You meet like a grand, what was he called? The grand blacksmith, the grand
grandmaster,
grandmaster smith, who knows? He used to train under this like elf blacksmith, you know, armorer. Who would make Witcher gear for Witchers. And he knows of all of these armor sets that all these Witchers were in possession of pieces of, and they went off, and you kind of have to follow their trails to find those armor sets. And it's really cool stuff. And that's how I got the Manticore gear, was by doing one of those quests.
That's cool.
So another new thing that they added was like, I'm trying to think of another game that has a similarity, like gang hideouts. Like Saints Row kind of stuff like that. I don't know. Like where like there's
Red
a
Dead?
The huh?
Like Red
kind of like Red Dead. You go somewhere. There's a huge number of enemies, and you have to clear them all out. It's kind of like how the game had the abandoned villages. You would find them and clear out like five or six like ghouls or something, and then the villagers would come back. It's kind of like that, but instead of having five or six ghouls, they have like 20 like dudes. And the new mechanic they added is there's a lookout. And if he sees you, he takes a torch and starts running for a bonfire. And if he lights that bonfire, it goes from 20 dudes to like 50 dudes. And I got my ass handed to me because there are so many fucking dudes.
So, yeah, a lot like, you know, Far Cry 3 and 4, for example.
Yeah, some of that. You just come across an encampment of enemies. You take them out. It gets repopulated by people. They might maybe that might open up some smaller side quests now. Stuff like that. I only come across a couple of those, but that's pretty cool. It's something that they added that wasn't in the main game or in the first expansion. I say expansion, not DLC, because these definitely aren't DLC. DLC these nowadays has a huge context. It's fucking like a couple of outfits and whatever. These are literally could be standalone games with the amount of content.
They can be upwards of multiple dozens of hours. So. Yeah.
Well, like I said, I played the first game for like 15, the first expansion for 15 hours. They say this one's like 30 hours and 90 quests. And also the first expansion, I didn't do half of the shit that was available in it. It added ability slots. Maybe you haven't. Dude, that's the thing is there's so much stuff in this they added that I still haven't even found yet. I'm still like looking around. They added like mutagens. Yeah, you can now upgrade mutagens. You can combine them now. You can turn certain ones into other ones. They added like kind of like a home base, like your own Montergioni that you can like upgrade and stuff. Mm-hmm. And like if you upgrade your bed, when you sleep in your bed, you get like increased vitality for X amount of time. Okay. Like I'm not talking about like 10 minutes. I'm talking about like an hour.
Is it
an hour of it? Huh?
Is it Kaer Morhen? Like the
no, it's not Kaer Morhen. Because it's everything in the in this expansion takes place in Toussaint. In this new area, this new place you go.
Okay. Where? Toussaint. Chris Davis?
Oh. Yeah, this doesn't look like Arizona at all. I'm sorry.
Anyway.
We made that joke a couple weeks ago.
No, I didn't.
Oh, Toussaint.
It's almost French. Toussaint.
Song.
Everything is very Frenchy.
Everything has a French. I mean,
the music is, also is a little Frenchy.
So they added new music. They added new Gwent music. Like I'm fucking still loving the music. They added new like five or six outfits for Roach, and Roach looks fucking awesome. Now you put like this like whole like chainmail thing on him that's like blue with these black stripes, and now he has this huge gold helmet with like horns coming off of it.
You're excited for horse armor?
Yes. Because I didn't have to pay $5 for it.
Sure.
It was included with this DLC. I had to play 6,000, like, warrens or something. I can't remember. It wasn't cheap. Or crowns, imperial crowns,
whatever. I got something that wasn't that expensive.
Yeah, yeah, well, I mean, I went into this DLC with, like, 35,000. I lost a bunch of money on the previous expansion. Sorry, on the upgrades for your weapons. They added those. What do they call them? It was like runes, not runes. They were like more than that. They added like placation and stuff like that, to where like if you attack an enemy a certain amount of times, like your last sign will be imbibed into your weapon now and stuff like that. Mm. I don't know. I spent a shit ton of money on that in the previous expansion. But yeah, so. What else have they added that's new? So you mentioned Gwent. So yeah, they actually added a new set of Gwent cards. There's now the Skellige Gwent deck. Nice.
They didn't have Skellige before?
No. They had the
Nilfgaardian,
the Northern Realm,
Skoyatel. Did they
the monsters?
Did they add any new mechanics?
No, just the mechanics that come with that new deck. That's really it.
But yeah, but does the new deck have like a focus or anything? I mean,
yes. So it does. It focuses on beasts. So you'll have like a guy that goes out there and he's like a level 2 archer, whatever. Not that great. But then maybe you have a couple of those guys. They have like a beast icon, and if you play a specific card or set of, there's a couple of different cards that have this other icon on them, it mutates those beasts into like fucking like 13 power bears. Which can be fucking insane. Like,
so all the archers just turn into bears?
Yep. They're beasts, and
that sounds like some fucking green rampage deck bullshit.
Rampant
growth shit.
Kind of.
This sword looks pretty long range.
Oh yeah, so this is an elven sword that I got as part of this quest. Like in this quest, it's like a side quest. You meet this guy and he's like, oh, help me, I found this dead guy. And you're like, did you kill him? And he's like, no, I stumbled across his body.
Why would I point this out if I killed him?
And so then Geralt's like, well, I'm going to investigate because this guy looked like he was killed not by you. Like, it looks like something not human killed him. So I'm going to go check out this house over here. And so he's like, I want to come with you. And I was like, all right. So I go over there and I meet this other guy. And he's like, is it safe to come out? Because like everyone's been killed. And he's like, oh, we gather once a year and we reenact. They're essentially like cosplaying and like role playing. So I'm like, essentially like medieval times, kind of they gather and like recreate some event that happened 100 years ago. And when they were doing it, like some specters showed up and started killing everybody. And Geralt's like, oh, well, show me what you did. We're going to do it again. And he's like, what the fuck's wrong with you? No. And Geralt's like, well, I'm going to take care of him. And then you saw that instead of specters appearing, all the statues in the courtyard came alive and started attacking me. And there was one fucking attack, which I've never seen before. Did you see like the lightning bolts coming down? These ladies were casting spells that would just like a lightning bolt would just appear above me and hit me. And they're really hard to dodge. Like this in the footage, you see me beat them on the first try. That wasn't the first try. I definitely took a couple of times to beat them because it's like six people and they like gang rush you. And it was tough.
So I started with a pre-made character since I'm playing on the PC now, and yeah. I played everything else on the PS4. And
how's it playing on the PC versus PS4, Brad?
Well, I mean, it's just a lot snappier. Especially the UI. That's the biggest thing. The UI is such a garbage fest on the console specifically because it's so sluggish. And that just, it makes you never want to go into the UI. Ever.
Oh, that's, I forgot another thing they added. Anytime you pick up a book that's readable, it will pop up a prompt that says, press R3 to read this
book.
Yeah,
that's nice.
Super fucking friendly. Because
you always had to go in the menu and look at it, find it. You pick up a book. I don't remember what it was called.
No, you'd go into the menu, you'd look at your books, and find which ones had the little star icon, because you hadn't read that one before. And now it just pops up, and if you pick up four books, you press R, and it pops up all four, and you just go left to right. You read it, and you go to the next one, you go to the next one. It's so much better.
All right, this is what I was going to say.
Okay.
One thing, like the character you get when you pick that pre-made character just for the expansion, like, has a shit ton of stuff on him. Like, he's pretty well equipped, you know? For the most part, I've had enough to, like, upgrade all Witcher gear to, like, superior, like, just off of what I have in my inventory. Nice. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, there's a lot of stuff, but... like, he doesn't have shit for Gwent cards. So, like, I feel like I can't experience the new Gwent stuff because, you know, I don't have all my Gwent cards.
So, what I will tell you,
I need my spies.
What I will... Oh, yeah, right. Oh, I fucking love spies. So what I will tell you is in the new area, you go up to a guy and he's like, I'm holding a Gwent tournament. He looks like Michael Cera. Swear to fucking God. You'll see him soon. Michael Cera.
It's more like Jesse Eisenberg.
No, Michael Cera. And he's like, I'm holding a Gwent tournament. Would you like to enter? And I'm like, yes. And he's like, well, there's only one spot. And I'm saving it for someone who will enter with my new Skellige deck.
Oh.
And so you have to play the tournament with the Skellige deck.
But I bet that deck sucks.
Well, you have to play with it.
Okay.
And so he gives you the deck, but it's only like the starter deck. It doesn't have any of like the special like cards. So you actually have another quest that's like, oh, go find a bunch of special cards. But thank fucking God, it points out every single one on the map. It says, go to this innkeeper, and he has one of the cards. Okay. Go to this guy, he has one of the cards. And so it makes it so... Because in the game proper, it's just like, hey, find all the cards. And you just have to, like, have I talked to this innkeeper? Have I... And you're fucking running up to each one. Like, some of them you have to beat them. Some of them you have to buy the card from them. So it's really nice that you, you're able to... say, you can see right there all those green icons. Those are for me sleeping in my completely renovated place. I have like a bonus to like health. I like Roach has like a huge stamina boost, I think, so you can run for a longer time or whatever.
Just beyond those stats though, can you like establish an economy, get some money coming in?
It's not like that. It's not like like Assassin's Creed. The economy in
this game is so fucking broken.
Yeah, the economy is very broken in this game. But like, you can add armor sets, so you can take any armor set you don't want to sell, or you don't want to. You could either put it in your chest, or you can put it on display in your house now, which is kind of cool. You can put your swords on display. Some paintings you can pick up, you can hang. So that's Michael Cera. It's really dark right now, but after this cutscene, it will be daytime, and then you'll see. And the problem is, like most of this footage, I'm playing at night. And that's this game has a day night cycle, and it just happened to be night when I was recording footage. But like the Gwent tournament happens during the day, so as soon as this cutscene's over, you will see Michael Cera in his full daytime glory. What else is there to talk about Witcher 3 besides it being amazing? Like I said,
it sounds like you're just really happy to be playing Witcher 3.
Oh fuck yeah, dude! Like I. The thing is that the last time I played this was December 12th per my save file, so it's been a while. I didn't finish everything in Hearts of Stone because other games, it was end of the year time. I was trying to crunch to get in as many games as possible. So I still would like to go back and do the Hearts of Stone stuff that I missed. And the reason I almost didn't play this, I almost didn't start playing this because I have... 85% of my new computer.
It does kind of look like Michael Cera.
Dude, yeah. It fucking does. Michael Cera with a mustache.
Maybe if he was wearing a red cap.
Well, yeah, Michael Cera with a mustache and a red cap. Like, if they do a Witcher movie and they have this character, it's clearly going to be played by Michael Cera. Anyway, because I have my new computer, I have everything but the graphics card. Fucking MSI is tweeting today, oh, we got our new graphics card, but it's fucking not for sale yet in America.
The gigabyte version is actually.
I saw that. They told you to go fuck yourself on Twitter.
Pretty much. the gigabyte?
Yeah.
Gigabyte the company?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I don't want their card.
I'm just pointing it out.
Okay, thanks. Thank you.
I didn't know you wanted
the Founders Edition's available too. Fuck you,
Bruce Davis. Damn.
I've done a lot of research
into
this.
That's a lot of repentance.
I've done a lot of research into this. I either want the Gaming X. Or the Seahawk. The problem is the Gaming X matches my motherboard. So that would be nice to have a case that kind of matches. I have like a black-red theme going on the inside. And you would all get to see it at some point because I'm going to do a live build of it once I fucking get that part in. Anyway.
Well.
So hold on. There was something. Oh, yeah. So main story. I've only played like 4 missions of it so far. 3 or 4. It's really good. I'm really enjoying it. How you get to Tucson is kind of cool. The stuff that happens when you first get there is interesting. There's only like 2 characters so far I've run into that are fairly interesting. There's like a third one that's kind of he's okay. But I'm really excited to see where the story goes, especially knowing at least one of the characters
with with the start of the expansion, does it kind of just like introduce you to the region, just let you go, or does it kind of set up like this overall narrative?
So when you first get there, you have to do like 3 quests to kind of get the ball rolling. And then once that happens, then it sets you free. And there's a couple of quests you have to do to kind of like, oh, we go here and do this, and then we're going to go over here and do this, and then now do whatever you want.
So it hasn't given you a sense of like the overall story as where it's going, right?
Yeah, no, it sets up the story.
Okay.
And then you run rampant and do whatever you want. Like I said, I got the story going, and then for like 4 hours, I did non-story stuff. And then just last night, I jumped back into the story, which is why I'm not far into the story yet.
I'm going to play through this as well. Mm-hmm. Might go a little slower. I don't plan to cast it. Although I will say, like, this game for me still suffers, from an inability to, like hook me, like, get me addicted to it, you know? Like, another RPG, like, I still have no motivation to, like, explore the land. Like, oh, it's a cave. What's in that cave? It just doesn't do that for me. So, I feel like it's really going to kind of drag out for me.
I think there's a few instances in this that kind of draw you into it. Like, there's a lot more story quests that kind of happen out in the middle of nowhere. Like, and I think in the game proper, and I can only say from what I played so far, in the game proper, a lot of the side stuff you got was from like notice boards, and like there was a few towns where you'd run into people. But there's been multiple occasions, like you saw that quest I did at the very beginning of this, there was just a guy on the side of the road that introduced me to that. There was one time I was near a cave and I heard people yelling. And so I was like, what is that? So I went over to figure out what was going on. Like, it's introduced a lot of the side quests like that, where it's just kind of, it just happens more naturally. And that's something I've kind of liked more. It gives me almost like a reason to explore the world to find that stuff. Because now, instead of just being open and then you'll get a quest that sends you off somewhere, you just find some of those quests out in the middle of nowhere. And so, yeah, the region is big. It's definitely bigger than Skellige. It's like the size of like Velen or something like that. It's a really big region. So I'm definitely excited to play more. I will be playing more. I'll try and cast more if I can, but yeah.
Casting The Witcher's tricky.
It's not the most feed friendly is the problem.
It's a lot of conversations.
Yeah, I would say at least a third of this game is talking.
Maybe a little more. You need to like come up with some sort of like twist for your cast, or like a some sort of hook or game or something to make it interesting for. Because if you're not invested in The Witcher, if you're invested in The Witcher, you're probably playing and you don't want it spoiled. And if you're not, it's like just the most like unwatchable.
Well, the other thing is there are a lot of notes and books and stories that are really, they have really well written content, and I want to read it, but I don't want to like sit there on the feed and read it out loud because I would be reading for like 45 minutes there's so much fucking content in these games. I saw a notice board that had like a Leroy Jenkins reference on it, and I was like, oh, he ran off on his own without his party and blah blah blah, and
just took his chicken
and like funeral services will be held, like, I don't know, whatever. Pretty fucking good. Anybody who's played either The Witcher proper or also got the Hearts and Stone, there's no reason you should not play Blood and Wine. Yeah. Period.
Okay.
And if you've read, what is that one book? What's the Witcher book?
Which one?
Not that one. The other one.
Baptism of Fire.
Baptism of Fire. Thank you. You will like this.
Well, and the following too, I imagine, if it involves the character I'm thinking of. Tower Swallow and Lady of the Lake, which Tower Swallow is out now.
It is?
Yeah.
I haven't read it. I need to read it now.
Cool.
Yep.
That is a video game.
Mm-hmm. Anybody else have any video games to talk about tonight?
I want
to
hear just some first impression thoughts from Crispy about Metroid Prime.
Oh, you started Metroid Prime?
Metroid Prime! I did.
How did that go?
It took a little getting used to.
Just the new perspective? Just the first person view?
No, the controls, really. Like,
have you ever played a Wiimote and Nunchuck game at all?
Yeah, I have, but I've never played a shooter like that before.
Yeah, it's not a great way
It's not. I mean, you'd think it would make sense because you're literally just pointing the remote at the TV, like the gun should go there, but for some reason, that works okay. I mean, it kind of sucks that I kind of had to tear apart my whole broadcasting setup and put it back together a different way just so I could, like, give myself enough room. Space in order to, like,
you know, do that properly. There's some settings in there that you need to fuck with.
Because
one of them has you lock on and you don't really move around.
No, I switched that. I switched that because, yeah, the default lock on for the Wii version of Metroid Prime is, like, it'll lock the screen kind of like in the general vicinity of the target, but then you still have to fine tune. Like,
yeah, you do. You want to turn that off.
That shit sucks. Yeah. So I turned that off right away.
Okay.
The controls are a little like fucking weird, but like it's and there doesn't seem to be like a real winning scenario there because I can either do the Wiimote or I can do the GameCube, and they both kind of are just like, you know, they're not great.
Yeah.
But once I started getting used to controls, kind of started honing in on my sensitivity and like started playing the game is really cool. The game is like I've played a little bit of it before, but that was without having any sort of like Metroidvania experience whatsoever. And now having gone through and like recently beaten Metroid or Super Metroid and then playing this, it's really interesting to see how they took that like exact formula and just like we're just like, okay, we'll just make this 3D. Yeah. And it just kind of works, you know?
This was the next Metroid game.
Yeah, this was the next one after.
Isn't that fucking
and
crazy?
And it has, like, it's got, like, references and shit to Super Metroid all over it.
So the thing is, when this game first came out, this was, like, one of the most beautiful, atmospheric games I've ever played.
There are so many really
does
cool...
Does that still kind of...
The music.
The music is so good.
I remember seeing this game when it first came out on the GameCube and being like blown away by the visuals. Even like the little touches, like the little effects on her visor, like when she walks through like a cloud of steam, how it just kind of like fogs up her visor a little bit, then fades away. Like slime from those exploding scarab things will like cake on and then kind of like wipe away. Like that stuff looks so cool. And at the time, that was incredible. Like there wasn't really anything else doing shit like that.
Definitely not.
Looking back on it, it does look dated. Like it looks,
Of course it does. You're playing a Wii game on Wii U, right?
But you were asking me if it still looked cool, and like it.
But does
like,
it have that?
I can
effect on you.
I can no, not really. Like I can watch it and appreciate it for what it was at the time.
Mm-hmm.
It is a little rough around the edges now, but God, this is like. This is like 14
have you gotten
years.
To the Drift it's yet, almost though? 15 years.
No,
old.
No. The last thing I did was I beat.
When you come out of Magmoor, man, into the Findrana Drift, it is like the transition there is just like, oh my god.
Nick had the same reaction.
What's the flower boss? Flagra?
Something like
I don't
that.
Remember,
I just beat him. I just got the Various suit at the end of my cast on Wednesday or Monday. And
you are in Magmoor?
No, I just ended the Magmoor Caverns. I went in and I found the first save room. Because
you were in this like challenging, oppressive, like underground, like lava area.
Yeah.
And when you go out into the Findrana Drifts, I don't even want to tell you.
No.
It's amazing. And the music, it's the best music in the game. It is huge.
The music's already pretty
and
good.
Open and it's, oh man. The music is fucking great.
Is Findrana Drifts the ice place? Or is
that,
okay. Yeah, I haven't been there yet.
Yeah.
It's really cool.
I start getting some of the power ups and shit too.
I'm playing on normal right now.
Yeah. Wait, on easy?
Well, there's two settings. There's like normal and
you should play on the easier one. Yeah.
I am. And with the lock on, it feels really easy.
No, that's fine. That's fine.
It feels really. I assume it probably ramps up later.
It'll get more difficult.
Super
also,
Metroid was that way too.
The version you're playing is easier than the original version, especially with the Wiimote. But I mean, that's fine. I mean, experiencing that game, like at times, Metroid Prime can get really frustrating.
Uh-huh.
You know, because you're wrestling with the controls and the shit's just like punishing. But anything the challenge of combat is not what you go to Metroid Prime for anyways. It's that experience that I hope you can still have. And I think you'll get kind of hooked onto it, hooked to it, kind of exploring that world.
I'm into it, man.
It kills me that there's no HD version of the Metroid Prime trilogy.
I'm sure it's coming at some point.
Like, if they did one for Wii U where you could just use the Wii remote or the Pro controller. The biggest problem with that game right now is it's in 3D. So you have enemies like kind of crowding up on you all around you, and turning around is such a pain in the ass. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Like, it is such a pain in
There's
the ass.
There's some tricks, but yeah.
If there was like a quick turn button combination
even,
you could do.
There isn't even something like that where you just hit a button and do like a 180-degree turn.
How do you feel about all the Morph Ball stuff? Because that shit was crazy back in the day, too.
The Morph Ball stuff's been pretty cool so far. I haven't found a lot, but I got the Morph Ball. I got the Morph Ball bombs. I've been using that for... You know, I kind of did a little bit of backtracking and opened up some areas that I had noticed the first time I went through. There was one area where it was really kind of frustrating because I was going around the outside of an area, but inside a little morph ball track, but the side of it was open. And when the camera would reposition, it would start thinking that me hitting right to, like, go right through the track was, like kind of doing an angle, and it kept, like, popping me out, and I'd fall all the way down to the bottom of the shaft and have to climb back up and redo it, and that was a little... But I get it. Like, I understand, and nothing else has really been that bad. I also really like that you can use the nunchuck to just kind of, like, flick it, and it'll jump. It makes doing, like, those the Morph Ball bomb jumps, like, the ones that fucking... difficult that I still have not got the hang of. Like, it makes that 100 times easier when you can just, like, jump, place a bomb, and then jump again as it's exploding. Like, that's really cool. I probably got a solid... There was a lot of my cast that was spent kind of, like, restarting and fucking with settings and stuff like that. But I probably got a solid 3 hours into it.
Yes.
I've beaten a couple mini-bosses, a main boss, and... I got my first, finally got the, well, not finally, but I got the various suit back. So, it's really cool, man. I'm into it.
You're going to keep plugging away?
I'm going to keep plugging away on my broadcasts with that.
Nice.
So we'll see.
I'm good.
Is that about it? All I want to say is that I finished Uncharted and Doom. I mean, that's the reason I don't have anything really new to say. I've just been kind of playing those games. But
how did you like the last, like, third of Uncharted?
The last third?
Yeah, like the last chunk of the game.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's good. I mean, it's good. I thought the epilogue was pretty clever, but I really, really like the game overall. I feel like it's might be the most, well, I mean, I never really talk about the first one when talking about Uncharted, but, like, I feel like more so than Uncharted 2 and 3, there are, like, long stretches of, like, either no combat,
mm-hmm.
where you're just kind of like, well, I mean, I don't know. Maybe I don't remember 2 and 3 that well.
I think this game has very good pacing compared to those ones.
Oh, see, I thought 2 had the best pacing. 2's, like, nonstop.
Wait, so you like that it was nonstop?
Yeah.
So I liked that this game had... decent chunks of not combat.
And those quiet moments when you're alone with just two characters.
Yeah, talking. But see, I feel like with The Last of Us, and they're doing The Last of Us probably you have... I feel like Uncharted should have gone even crazier. Like, it should have diverged instead of kind of... Like, obviously they learned a lot by doing The Last of Us, and it wears its Last of Us influence on its sleeve, but I almost kind of wish it didn't do that. And was more like... I don't want to spoil anything, but, like, look at Definitely the enemies don't. You're fighting throughout the game. Yeah, they never change.
You brought that up. And honestly...
I want some whimsy, you know?
And honestly, I think they were going definitely more realistic in this game. Yeah. Like, some of the previous games did have that really crazy enemy design. But in reality, you're just fighting dudes.
Yeah.
Like, there's not going to be... there's going to be dudes with handguns, there's going to be dudes with shotguns, there's going to be dudes, a couple of dudes with fucking, like, chain guns. But overall, they were just dudes.
Yeah, they're just dudes.
Which is more realistic.
And it's not just what you're fighting, but I feel like there's less set-piece fights in this one than like, 2, especially in 3.
Well, 3. 3 had some of the best fucking set pieces.
Yeah, set-piece fights. In this one, the fights are in pretty, like, standard places. They're well-designed. Like, there's lots of ways to get around. You can use, like, the grapple to kind of swing around. But, you know, nothing compares to, like, you know, the train from 2 or the boat from 3 or, like, you know, like, that part in 2 where you're just hanging on a fucking sign, you know, like, shooting all those... there's less moments like that, and it's more just, like, Shoreline. Like, I was kind of rolling my eyes by the end of the game. Yeah. Every time, like, Shoreline was popping up. Yeah,
Shoreline's here.
But, I mean, it's fucking good. And the stuff about, the stuff that they learned from Last of Us is definitely good, but I don't know. It's hard. We need to have, like, a spoiler cast.
That's what I've been fucking saying.
But, I mean, you know. Everybody plays games at their own pace, you know, so it's tough.
But now you want one, though, right? You want to talk about it. You want to spoil it. You want to talk about some of that stuff.
I feel like there are things that The Last of Us writers do really well, and maybe there's some things that they don't do as well. And there are things that Amy Hennig does really well, and maybe The Last of Us. And there are some lines that were delivered in Uncharted 4 that I feel like they didn't pull off as it, like they didn't earn that moment. Or yeah, it's hard to talk
about. Save it for the spoiler cast. All right. Anything else? Pretty light gaming week.
I mean, I wish I could talk about something new, but I can't.
Yeah. That's fine.
I played more Overwatch. Got a couple plays of the game. No big deal.
Nice.
No big
deal. Are you looking at a butt? The play of the game, like, has become a huge meme.
The Torbjorn one, where, like the video is just him standing there, like, trying to look at Widowmaker's ass while his turret's just getting kills left and right.
That's pretty funny.
That's so good. I love Overwatch.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I guess if that's it for games, it was a pretty light week. All I played was a little bit of Witcher. We can move on to some news.
There were a few pieces of news we could talk about. Yeah,
I have, and the only kind of thing that there is also not a lot of news. GOG came out with their GOG Connect.
What?
So it's users, GOG users. Can download a certain select set of DRM copies of some of their Steam games. So, like The Witness as an example. If you own The Witness on Steam, you can go to your GOG and you can connect it to Steam and you can download a DRM-free copy of The Witness.
That's cool.
That's the thing, is I don't really know where they're going with this. I mean, I guess you can play it offline. And blah, blah, blah. But, I mean, honestly, some of that you've already kind of been able to do with Steam. You can play Steam games not connected to Steam.
Also, I mean, why are they doing this?
I don't know.
So that we can fucking pirate them?
I'm trying to figure it out. I think there's piracy catches in there somewhere.
I mean, it's
kind of
nice to be able to be like, oh,
I can understand the marketing appeal of grabbing Steam users and converting them to GOG users. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because you got those DRM-free games.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, that means you could just take the game file, throw it on a flash drive, give it to somebody, they can plug it in their computer and play it, right?
Yeah.
Kind of.
Don't know.
Because that's the only thing that I would think would be
useful about
that. DRM-free is pretty awesome, though.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, I'm playing The Witcher 3 on my and all the DLC on my PC because of Mike.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I didn't spend a penny on that stuff.
So you stole it?
No, it's GOG stuff is DRM-free.
So you're
I just downloaded it. I don't even have to be logged into anything to play it.
Brad admits.
That's not piracy. It's designed for that. They would not advertise DRM free if they knew. I mean, they know people are doing this.
I thought you were playing Witcher on PS4.
I mean, I was. He was. I mean, I played all my Witcher stuff on PS4 up to this point. I started booting up the expansion. I was having some of the same sluggishness that I've always had. And I'm like, fuck this. You know, because I had tried out the PC version earlier, and I installed some, like, mods and stuff, and there's some really slick mods.
Damn it.
Like the...
It was on sale the other day, and I was like, oh, I should get it on Steam.
Oh, yeah.
But, like, I've already put so much time into the PS4 version that, like, I don't want to start.
The fucking HUD mod that takes off everything. Unless you're in Witcher senses. So slick. And, right. it puts the objective marker in the world, but only when you're holding down Witcher senses.
Yeah. Oh,
so you could just not have to rely on a fucking minimap or a map.
Friendly HUD.
I don't think they've updated it for
the
new expansion.
And that's the problem is because that's the problem with mods. Anytime a new patch comes out, they all break for the most part until they get patched, which sucks. Yeah. But anyway, that's GOG Connect. Yeah. I mean, there's only like 12 games right now for it.
That's going to be a weird thing. It's really going to come down to the publishers that are going to allow this.
Yeah, no, definitely.
I have a news topic, kind of a small news topic. I want to share. Did you get an overlay for that?
Your thing? Yeah.
I saw there's a big Suikoden fan site that is officially starting a Suikoden on PC like movement, like getting some of the old games, getting PC ports made for them.
Nice.
And like this movement is somewhat, I mean, that there's a pretty strong following, like a pretty strong, what do you call it? Like small but powerful, you know, fan following for Suikoden. And I want to bring this up just because I think this is a great thing to maybe, like, we've seen games that, like, especially Japanese RPGs that come to PC and actually kind of do really well, like, surprisingly. Mm-hmm. I don't know if Suikoden is going to set any worlds on fire. Yeah. But sales charts on fire or anything, but
it depends on the quality they put into the port.
Yeah, sure. But the more people that play these games, the more. I'm not saying we have a chance of ever getting more Suikoden. I'm thinking like even this is kind of a stretch. But I will say that there was this pretty like awesome like 1-2 on Twitter where there was a post about this, like, hey, there's a movement to get the Suikoden games on the PC, which is a Konami franchise, and Destructoid responds to this going, or they post an article basically saying, like, yeah, like,
it's never gonna happen.
Like, it's never gonna fucking happen. Really? It's never gonna happen. And then Konami tweets Destructoid. It's like, no, actually, like movements like this are the reason that, like, Suikoden made it to PSN. You know, so don't, like, basically shit-talking Destructoid.
Wow.
Which was fucking beautiful. Fucking beautiful. Yeah. So, in this stream of shit coming from Konami, there's a little nugget of hope from them, so.
But then,
and I'm sure that was just some, you know, community manager or whatever that runs that Twitter account, but it still was beautiful to see.
It was a fluke.
So someone post a link to that series of tweets. It was pretty fucking rad.
Wait, are we gonna talk about the Metal Gear Solid 3 remake?
No,
the one that they're doing in the Fox Engine.
That yeah, we so can totally be super excited.
It does. Cool. It's not a. There's some nice looking character models,
and it's a pachinko machine.
God damn it! Just when you want to thank Konami for something.
Like, no one should find this surprising. We know they're in the business of making pachinko machines.
I watched that trailer not knowing it was a pachinko thing, and for half a second I let myself
believe.
You can tell. I was like, oh, whoa, wow, that looks so fucking cool. And then I was like, wait, no. And I hurled my phone across the room.
You can tell they're pachinko trailers when it's like all fucking like word art fucking text.
Just Japanese trailers. They all
But you've seen a Metal Gear Solid trailer. You know it doesn't look like that.
No, I know, but I also... Shut up, Brad! I had hope for a second!
And then it was dashed away.
It looks so good.
Apparently there was a leaked screenshot for potentially Red Dead 2.
What?
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Shut up, really?
Well, that could fall into the last news topic, which I just wanted to bring up.
From the website of a former Rockstar employee.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Well, evidently, it's... E3 is in 2 weeks, less than 2 weeks at this point. And all sorts of rumors have been starting up. And two pretty kind of cool ones came up today. Ones we've known about, but, you know, like official, unofficial confirmation is kind of cool. So we now know that Injustice 2 is a thing from NetherRealm Studios.
Mm-hmm.
The guys who made Mortal Kombat, Ed Boon and all them.
Yeah.
Exciting.
But we also know... Mm-hmm. That Shadow of Mordor 2 is coming.
Exciting.
A lot of
those are both cool.
Yeah.
But those are neither of them are that surprising. I mean,
no, not necessarily. Well, I mean, Injustice in a way, maybe.
Injustice, maybe.
I mean, they've been going DC Mortal Kombat, DC Mortal Kombat. Now it's time for DC again.
Well, yeah.
I get that rhythm, but.
The licensed comic book that they've been doing for the first Injustice game, which was I think is still running.
Big, right? Yeah.
Supposedly they ran recently. Like 5 quote unquote year like seasons of it, and it's like really good. It's really good.
Yeah, it's, I heard that.
It's kind of cool. So yeah, they've been making a shit ton of money on that.
Wait, what happened? Was your
phone? I'm on airplane mode.
Maybe airplane mode doesn't do shit.
It blocks all signals.
It stops the cell signal, which is generally the cause of popping.
I'm going to make two predictions about Injustice 2. One is I think Captain Cold will be a character. I think he will.
Okay.
And that's really a serious prediction. Two.
Oh, Flash is pretty popular.
I think Captain Boomerang will be a character.
Two? Oh, yeah. We can only hope, right? Yeah, maybe he'll be a paid DLC.
We are probably going to see a lot of Suicide Squad characters.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
Well, those were Rogue's Galaxy.
Harley Quinn was in Injustice, right?
Yeah, she was.
Okay.
Yeah, she was in it.
She was.
I didn't remember if she was playable or not.
Fuck yeah, she was.
Yeah. Okay.
Harley Quinn and Joker. Maybe Rogue's Booster
Gallery.
Gold?
Rogue's Gallery.
Maybe. Booster Gold, Blue Beetle?
Maybe.
Do you know what I've...
Solomon Grundy.
Do you know what I really, really want to see finally?
What's that?
Like, Boots. It would be so smart. Like Street Fighter... The most recent one kind of flopped a little bit. It just didn't sell nearly as well as 4. Mm-hmm. Mortal Kombat always sells incredibly well. They did Tekken Cross Street Fighter. They did Street Fighter Cross Tekken, and it had some issues. But, like, I mean, that's one thing. I mean, the thing is, Tekken's 3D. It was always big in 3D arena. Like those paths never really crossed, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Tekken fans and Street Fighter fans, they were always kind of separate. But back in the day, when people were playing Street Fighter 2, people were playing Mortal Kombat, yeah. And it would be dope as shit for them to finally do Street Fighter Cross Mortal Kombat, because that's the verses that I think people really fucking want.
Those are like
want.
The two pillars of
the two classic fighting game franchises. Yeah. Man, that would be a shit ton of money all around. Definitely. So it seems like that would be a good decision for somebody to make.
I don't know. I mean, I'm sure it's probably come up in the past, but
yeah,
other issues besides just wanting to do it.
I mean, it just makes sense. You have Marvel versus Capcom, and then you had DC versus Mortal Kombat and Injustice and stuff. Like, it just do it. Do it. And then do a Marvel versus DC game. But use Marvel vs. Don't use Injustice. Use Marvel vs. Capcom engine for that. Because that's better than
Injustice. For a Marvel vs. DC game? Like one of those weird amalgam games?
That'd be so fucking like, crazy!
They used to do these amalgam comics where there would be huge crossovers between Marvel and DC. Yeah. And there would be like, it'd be like Batman and Captain America fighting for like an hour and neither one of them can land a blow. And they're just like, okay, let's stop fighting. Like,
wasn't there a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles and Batman crossover recently?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that was a big one. I mean, dude, they've done crossovers.
You know, I didn't really mention it. But I played like half an hour of that new Turtles game, and I sent it back to Gamefly. Fuck that game.
Oh, fuck into the shadows.
Fuck license, paycheck, platinum. Okay,
we might talk about that later.
Dude, what are you talking about? They gotta keep the lights on.
We might talk about that later.
Okay. They gotta keep the lights on.
Shut the fuck up. All right. Any other news?
Because no one's buying Wonderful 101 or
any other news.
They're good games.
No.
Not particularly.
Cool. Nah.
Short news week. Everyone's saving up their news for E3. Why would they make big announcements now when they could make announcements at E3?
I heard that new Division patch was a clusterfuck. I'm just kidding.
I can talk about the Division if you want.
We've already passed that.
Dude, I really wish I could play other things than the Division right now.
Me too.
I can't afford anything right now.
Well, that sucks for you. All right.
Really does.
So, community? Cool with talking about community? Yeah. Jesus Christ, Brad. Jesus Christ. Just do it.
I'm cool with it.
All right.
Let's do it.
Community, woo! The best part is about the show because it's all about you, our community, our listeners, our ear holes that we enter every week. We love you. So, first things first, besides me being the realist, is we have a new supporter of the month.
Yes!
Because it is June, so new supporter. The Urban Hitman.
Rigged.
Yes, totally rigged. What the hell?
Recount.
yep. So that's it. Urban Hitman.
I'm sorry.
You fuckers. So congratulations, Urban. The game we have he chose, or one of the games that we're gonna be playing for him is
Don't Starve. Maybe you might be doing some Don't Starve Together. I don't think any of us have played that. I know Brad and Malia might do some Don't Starve Together. If me and Bernadette could ever be on the same schedule, maybe we would. I don't know.
It's been a while since I played Don't Starve. That game is good.
You should probably play some with Cam. That'd be good.
Maybe.
Your streams are usually Metroidvania, though.
Well,
Don't Starve isn't really a Metroidvania.
I mean, there's that other game that was on the list that Brad could play, but we'd never see him again.
But I might just play it unrelated because it's one of my favorite games.
There you go.
Mount Blade Warband?
Anyway. All right. So we have no new patrons this week.
Why?
Sad day.
Boo!
It's all right.
Let's fix that.
We didn't lose any patrons.
Next time, I want three new patrons.
Mr. Demanding over there.
Please.
The patrons demand that you play less Division and maybe they'll support us.
Give me some money.
Oh, snap.
I had to spend $1,000 on my car this week.
Question. Chris Davis, you have probably a huge collection of games that you've never played or finished.
Where am I going to devote time to?
Oh, so it's a time thing. I thought you said it was a money thing.
It's also a
time thing. I'm saying you have fucking video games. Play your video games. You don't have to play the Division. Pick up a game that you've never really put much into. Play that instead. An old game.
Next time you feel like playing the Division, just read a book.
I'll tell you exactly what I want to play next. And it's The Last Story. Because I never got to play that.
The fuck is The Last Story?
It's a Wii RPG.
RPG from
Mistwalker. It's the never-ending story, and it's a movie.
Yeah, I think that's what you're talking
from
about.
From the Blue Dragon Lost Odyssey guys.
The Last of Us?
No. The Last Story.
Never-ending story.
Yeah. Stories, The Path of Destiny?
Story of Seasons?
God damn it.
Last Guardian.
Last Guardian.
That's what he's talking about. Okay.
I gotta wait on that one.
Yeah. All right. So our first question this week from a patron comes from Zerby.
Zerby.
You're the man with the sound effects.
I'm sure you've been asked, what are the games you want to have sequels to? So instead I'll ask, what are the games that you would love to specifically have perquel to?
What?
Prequel. Yeah, that's just oddly worded.
Prequel.
He says spinoffs.
Spin-offs. So that's
prequels or spinoffs.
That's typically like story related. Well,
he didn't write prequel. He definitely wrote perquel.
If we're talking about spinoffs, I think it would be really cool if they did a spinoff of the StarCraft franchise. That's like maybe an action game,
like StarCraft Ghost,
one of the Ghost characters or something, because they're so fucking cool.
No, I agree. Yeah.
God fucking damn it! I hate everything.
Dude, I was so fucking excited for that game. Oh, you have no fucking idea.
That was the first game that I like. It sounded hyped so cool. And followed for like years. Yep.
That's a good question.
I wonder what could have been.
When he says, "Hey, would you like a prequel or a spinoff?" I mean, he's specifically referring to like story stuff, right? Because
probably.
I mean, otherwise, why would you do a prequel? So it's hard to say because I'm not the biggest. I mean, story stuff doesn't pop into my mind first and foremost.
I hope Red Dead 2 is a prequel to Red Dead, so we get more John Marston.
Yeah.
Well, supposedly it is a prequel, so.
Wait, why can't it just be a sequel with John Marston?
Shut the fuck up, Brad. He hung up his belt.
His belt?
Yeah.
His gunslinging belt?
Yeah.
It wouldn't be his hat.
Mm. He hung up his both. Hat. He hung up everything. He hung up his hat, his belt, his pants. His underoos, he hung it all up.
His internal organs.
You know what I want? You know what I want? As a non-super fan, I mean, I really like Bayonetta 2, but I really like the first one more. And I sort of think back to Devil May Cry, where they did the sequel and it was a little more serious. That character especially was a little more serious. And now, it wasn't to that degree with Bayonetta 2. I do think it was a more serious story, and there were some more serious characters. I would like to do a prequel, a younger Bayonetta, where it's just fucking crazier. Balls to the walls. The Devil May Cry 3, like, young Dante interpretation of Bayonetta. Just fucking young. Not, like, too young. I mean, we still want to ogle her, obviously. But, like, you know, just young 20-something Bayonetta. Just fucking hair and tits flying all over the place. I think it would be great. Just all personality and like shit talking, you know, angels and you know.
Brad likes hairy tits.
Yeah.
Who doesn't?
I could go for a Last of Us prequel that kind of bridges the gap between, you know.
Oh, okay.
You know, what happened at the beginning of the game and then, like, 20 years later.
I was like, Joel is, like, a construction worker? Like, what are you talking
about? I got a good one. A Spyro prequel where you find out how all those jewels got all over the place.
There you go.
Yeah.
There you go. I can't think of one off the top of my head. Yeah.
I would also like to see a, as far as the side story goes, a, like, a modern Ocarina side story that's about, what's her name, and Zelda going off and her getting Sheik? Trained. Sheik. Mm-hmm. Becoming Sheik.
Okay.
You know, I can't remember
the lady's name, the other one.
Impa.
Impa, there you go.
Yeah, Impa, you know, training
Zelda. Every Zelda game is a prequel to a Zelda game. Who cares?
Pretty much.
Yeah, but I'm talking about like a side story, you know, tells you know, what happened sure after enough, seven sure years.
Enough. All right.
Yeah, spinoff.
He did moving say that. On. Yeah.
He did say spinoff.
Moving on. Matt asks, this may have been asked before, but I'll ask again just to be sure. Have you ever not liked a game once you played it, only to go back sometime later and hold it in a higher opinion? And if yes, what are those games? Why? You don't need to be necessarily, you don't need
the original Halo.
Better opinion, whatever.
Absolutely, the original Halo. I played it the first time, didn't really care for it. I didn't get why people liked it. Played it again like 6 months later, and it fucking clicked. Hmm. And I fucking love the game. So
Bayonetta was one for me. The first time I played it, I really couldn't get into it. But then went back and replayed it and ended up really enjoying it.
I classically struggled. I think this struggle happens to a lot of people, but my first Bethesda game was Morrowind, and that thing didn't hook me at first. You know, I started up, I was overwhelmed, I was confused, I had never really played anything that massive, but when it finally hooked me, it fucking hooked me. And, you know, to a lesser, or to a similar degree, like Final Fantasy Tactics, it didn't really click with me at first. I didn't really understand what the fuck was going on, but
I have a good one. FTL.
FTL.
When I first started playing FTL, I just wasn't super into it. Oh. I don't know why. I played it for like an hour and I was like, man, this game's not that great. And then I don't remember. Maybe it was a conversation with you. I was like, I'll give it another try. I put so many hours into that game.
I love that fucking game.
I've never changed my mind about a game ever. Except for Castlevania Symphony of the Night.
Yeah.
And Dark Souls.
Oh, yeah. Souls, that's a good one. All right, moving on. Next question from Vandal Savage. I'm just kidding, it's not Savage, it's just Vandal. What the fuck is up with Platinum Games?
So it's pretty obvious it's not hard to
Brad, what the fuck's up with Platinum
Games? It's not hard to put the pieces together.
Put the pieces together for me.
They're signing contracts with Activision to make very low budget games that, you know, with a very small turnaround time, to keep the lights on. And that stuff allows them to make, you know, the games they want to make, like a Nier or a Scalebound. And if it wasn't for those types of games made by probably much smaller, less talented teams. But, I mean, really, it's probably not even like a lack of talent. It's just you have no time and you have no fucking money. Do the best you can. That Core game sucked ass. That Transformers game, Against All Odds, actually came out okay.
It was a decent one.
If anything, that's a sign that there is still talented people working on these games, even though they don't have any time or fucking money. And it just so happens that the Turtles game was another suck-ass game. But, like, if you look from the outside, you should be able to kind of see which ones are going to have problems and which ones aren't. There's Star Fox, which, you know, it isn't really a game that was, like, ground-up platinum. It was Nintendo, who I guess probably kind of, like, contracted out, you know, a lot of the work to Platinum Games. Because they didn't know what the fuck. I mean, Star Fox was like a clusterfuck. They debuted that game with blurry gameplay. It's just, who knows what went wrong there. Most of the problems of that game were controls anyways.
I mean, I think it is just they're spreading themselves too thin.
Yeah.
You know, they have maybe like one good guy on each project.
Yeah.
And then it's just, it sucks. And I think I understand to an extent why. Is because their best games just don't sell well enough. Which sucks because they're fan-fucking-tastic games and people don't buy them, but then they're like, oh, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle game, people are going to buy that. So they just, well, let's just fucking shit this one out and we'll make some money. Then we'll maybe be able to make the game we actually want to make.
I bet Turtles will sell more than Vanquish.
Probably.
You know, I bet Transformers sold more than The Wonderful 101. Yeah. It's sad, but I mean, that's the reality. But, you know, just look at what Hideki Kami is working on, because we probably know that one's going to be awesome.
Both of them.
He has a good track record.
We hope.
All right. Next question tonight.
And Nier looking pretty good.
From Miklopa.
Miklopa.
Oh, wait, hold on. There was a question before him. I skipped it.
Oh.
From Gonzo Lude.
Gonzo Lude.
Gonzo Lude.
Quick question for Nick. Well, Nick's not here, so I'll answer this. What is your favorite Tool song? Sober. Nick likes Sober.
Wait, what was that? Na-na-na-na-na. The piece is fit. Na-na-na-na-na.
I don't remember the title of that one. Fit.
That's my favorite one.
I was going to say it, yeah. Is that Stinkfist?
Stinkfist?
They have a song named Stinkfist.
Is that real?
How much of your... I mean, do you spend a lot of time looking at like, weather radars, like, on an average day?
Yeah. He's like Chris Davis is an old man, you know? Like, he keeps the Weather Channel on his TV. Serious, and
like, on average, how many days a week would you have looked at a weather radar?
If it's going to rain, I'm going to look at the radar.
That's weird. He knows when it's going to rain because he can feel it at his knees.
Go out and smell it in the air.
My joints are getting stiff.
All right.
Next that's going to be 2 inches today.
Next question. Okay. Next question from Miklopa.
Just the two?
Miklopa. Once again, you are a scummy developer hungry for money.
Yes, I love it.
You need to come up with a video game idea and a gimmick peripheral that allows you to play it. Mm. Music games are not an option. Guitar Hero and Rock Band already have that market covered.
A lumberjack game and the peripheral is a chainsaw.
Nice. Yeah. I was going to say a chef game and it comes with a knife.
No, you have to buy like a bun. You have to buy a knife and a spatula and like a pan.
Yeah. But those are all accessories that you buy. You have to buy separate. Yep.
Right.
So.
Right. It just comes with the knife.
You can buy the kitchen set that comes with a bunch
of. But then it's like you have to get different peripherals for different courses. Mm. And like you only have the knife, so you can only do like appetizers and main courses. Then to unlock like the dessert round, you have to go out and buy like, I don't know.
It's the Skylanders of cooking games.
Dessert knife.
That's what it is.
A baking pan.
Yeah.
Each one's an amiibo.
Whatever the new Mercury Steam game is, and it comes with like a 2-liter bottle like of soda, turn. And you just ram it in your ass. That's how you use it.
Drive it into your butthole.
Drive that 2-liter into your asshole because that's what Mercury Steam is doing to your soul.
That either like it comes with some sort of like tube that you have to fart into. Or
and it analyzes the composition of your fart.
Yeah, like maybe like to make your character jump, you get a fart or something.
It's like Seaman, and there's a character that you talk to, but like you can only communicate with it in farts.
Yeah,
and then it's like it smells your farts, and it's like, you've been eating a lot of fiber lately, and then that's it.
This is my.
And it tells you whether he has colon cancer. That's a jumping off point.
Yes.
I mean, or you could have one with the game comes with like a camera. And then, like, a little boy, and his name's Milo, and then you show him your penis.
Oh, God. Then you go to jail for real?
There was some dirty annotated code in there somewhere.
Do you remember
when
they were like, this is Milo?
And everyone was like, what happens when you show him your penis?
I don't remember that reaction, but I remember Milo.
That was what a lot of people
I
saying.
Really don't remember people being like, oh, okay, but what if I whip out my penis?
Well, because they were like, here's this little
they're
kid
like,
Milo.
They're like, they're demonstrating it at the press conference. They're like, and if you pull out your penis,
there's this little kid, and they're like, he reacts to everything. Here's Claire. And she's showing him a picture she drew.
Claire
and,
shows him her boobies.
Yeah.
And
there was like,
my pants are getting
tight. Except for penises.
What the
How about...
I want to go clean my room.
A game called Overwatch, and like, it comes with an anime DVD because, you know, it just makes sense.
Good one, Brad.
Yeah.
That was so well done.
All right, next question from Don Dolan.
Or a phone with Tumblr on it.
Inspired by a recent NeoGAF thread, for better or worse, what was a prediction that you got completely wrong about a game, system, studio, developer, etc.? Last Guardian's gonna come out in 2012. Sorry, Last Guardian's come out 2013. Like, sorry, 2014.
Like a prediction we got wrong?
Yeah, just anything that you thought was gonna happen, but you were like just completely.
Dude, lost. I remember thinking Brink was gonna be so good.
I remember thinking the same thing of Aliens Colonial Marines.
Yeah.
That's how Carlos's soul died.
Yeah. I mean, I guess in terms of like systems, I thought the Wii U wasn't going to be a piece of shit. I was pretty excited when they announced that. And I was like, because they was pretty under wraps. We were at that one Nintendo conference and they were like, here's the Wii U. They didn't really say anything about it. And like, I was trying to talk to them and they wouldn't tell me anything. And I was like, either this is going to be really good or it's going to be a piece of shit. And I was really hoping it was going to be good, but I was wrong.
I didn't expect Don Matrick and his Xbox team to have their heads so far up their asses when it came to announcing the Xbox One.
They finally gave up on that.
I definitely did not think that Doom was going to be one of my favorite games of the year so far, and it definitely is.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
Right? Way to put a positive spin on this.
I got my prediction of Duke Nukem, right?
I mean, everyone did.
No one knew about it, and then we saw a big black box, and it said Duke Nukem. And then we walked in the room, and then the game crashed on me 3 times.
Wait, really?
Yeah. And the guy had to come over and reset the game, and then they were like, all right, demo's over, get out. And I was like, I haven't even gotten 5 minutes in because it keeps crashing. He was like, too bad.
He said, wow.
He was like, get out. I was like, well, fuck you. This game's going to suck. And I was right.
Dude, Gearbox presentations are the
worst. Right? All right. Next question this week from Timothy. Last week, y'all covered your favorite Simpsons moments. What are your favorite King of the Hill moments?
Everyone's favorite is Pocket Sand. Let's get that out of the way.
This is Mr. Big.
The episode in which there was the fire they set at the fire station, and they were having to get their testimony on what happened. And when Boomhauer was giving his testimony, it was hilarious because everybody else was speaking like him, but he was speaking perfectly literate English. Also, that's my purse. I don't know you.
Yeah, that's a good one. Just a quote, half the quotes from Dale Gribble's mouth. I can show you how to make a, what did he say? Like, I can show you how to make a pipe bomb out of a toilet paper roll and a stick of TNT. Oh goodness, there's so many. I mean, the episode when Hank with his non-existent butt and he had to wear like the butt implants or whatever. Yeah. Like riding the
lawnmower race.
Yeah.
The video game episode was pretty
The Hank Hell.
Grand Theft Hank or something like that.
When they go to Japan.
Yeah, they meet
with Cotton and whatever. And they were staying in the entry room of their hotel.
His fake brother.
No, his half brother.
His half brother. I didn't mean fake. I meant half.
Yeah.
His half brother.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like it any time that Cotton called Peggy Hank's wife.
Dude, Cotton was such a good fucking character.
Oh, the one episode where Hank was cooking steaks and Bobby asked, what if somebody wants theirs well done?
Yeah, we politely but firmly asked them to leave. The best part about that show is Bernadette, she watched a lot of it, but she watched some of it. And she didn't watch a lot because she didn't get it. And then she moved to Texas. And she's like, I get it now.
The best episode.
King of the Hill now.
Megalo Dale. When Dale and them like lock themselves in the Megalo Mart overnight to hunt Chuck Mangione.
Yeah.
With his trumpet. Yeah. Oh, no. It's like a little saxophone thing.
Yeah.
Oh, that's the best.
That's a good. And that's the thing. Any of y'all who didn't love King of the Hill, if you lived in Texas, it makes a lot more sense. Because it is very self-aware of Texas and like Southern humor.
It absolutely is.
Yeah. So I don't know. That's like
I've watched a lot of King of the Hill in my life.
Yeah.
But there are certain episodes that I watch over and over again because that's how Malia goes to sleep.
Okay.
She'll put on an episode of King of the Hill, but she'll always do the same ones. So I've seen every episode of King of the Hill, but I've seen some episodes of King of the Hill like
10 episodes,
30 or 40 times. Mm-hmm. Actually, more than that, because literally the same ones every time.
So that's what Bernadette used to do, but with South Park.
Yeah.
When she was still going to college, every day she would go to sleep to South Park. And so that's one of the reasons I've seen. That's a lot of the South Park that I've seen. All right, final question for the evening from Prince of the Universe.
Alrighty.
Just a quick little fun game. Each of you describe one of your favorite games in 10 words or less without using the name of the game or names of the characters in the game, and the other three try to guess what the game is. You all get one guess.
Oh, is this is this like bad movie?
Say the rule again, you can't say?
10 words to describe the game. You can't use the name of the game or characters that are in the game.
Oh.
Names of characters.
Okay.
I guess no proper nouns. Let's say that.
Okay. There's a certain game that I like that has lots of job classes. No.
Sorry, Brad's changing the game real quick.
No, I'm not. It's a grid-based strategy game directed by Yasumi Matsuno.
Final Fantasy Tactics?
No. Tactics Ogre, bitch.
Oh, no.
Well, that was my next guess, but I only get one guess.
Man and his kid take a hiking trip to California.
A man and his kid?
Yeah.
Firewatch?
No. I was going to say that, yeah.
Oh, wait, that's not California. That's Wyoming. Man and his kid.
You only get one guess. Y'all are done.
Hiking trip. The wizard?
What? That's not a man and his kid.
Scintillating dead air.
Wait, is this Walking Dead?
No, I don't give up.
You give up?
Yeah.
No.
Okay, they're out. You got one guess.
I get one guess.
One guess.
You're supposed to do 10 words. Not like
that was 9 words. I counted it.
One more word.
Man and his kid take a long hiking trip to... take a hiking
They're saying trip. It in chat, and no one's going to chat.
No, that's not it.
I mean, that's kind of it.
That's not
it. No, it's not.
If that's what he's I'm saying, that's not it.
I didn't... Hey, I just...
I give up.
Last of Us.
They don't go to California. They go to Colorado.
Yeah. They're going to California, aren't they?
No.
Ah, I win again! Yes!
Well, Crispy was wrong.
I really lied. I thought they went to California in that game.
Uh-uh.
Really? They only go to Colorado?
Yeah.
Wow.
And then they go back where they came from.
They only get to Colorado.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that was their destination. It's been a while since I played Last of Us.
Well, anyway, I don't want to say anything else.
Okay.
My bad.
Okay. It's not his biological kid, but I didn't say it was his biological kid, did I? Did I say that?
I was going to say Walking Dead. Are they going to California?
No. Yeah, maybe.
No.
They're going the other way. They're going to the East Coast.
Right. Next question?
No, I haven't done mine yet. Did Chris Davis do one?
No.
Okay. Want to go ahead? You do one while I'm trying to contemplate the best way to structure this.
An open world exploration action game.
Wow.
Starring an Apache helicopter.
What?
Fuck you. Division.
Starring an Apache helicopter?
Yes.
This is one of your
Ace like, Combat, the no, one with the helicopter.
Strike games. Nope.
Ooh, I've got another one.
What'd you say?
Fucking Tom Clancy Strike.
What? No.
Desert Strike.
It's Desert Strike.
I got one more if you're not ready. I got one more. Okay. Person escapes insane asylum and goes on a murdering rampage.
Hitman Contracts.
Nope.
Hitman escapes
nope.
Agent 47.
Nope.
I mean, yeah, it is true.
Nope.
It is true, though.
Nope.
Wait, say it again.
Person escapes insane asylum and goes on
the suffering.
A murdering rampage.
Batman.
Nope. Player character.
No. didn't specify.
Not Manhunt.
Nope.
Okay, I got one.
Yeah, I'm gone.
You've up?
No.
Oh.
Sanitarium.
Nope.
Is it Alice?
Nope.
Okay.
Just fucking say it. Dark Souls.
Okay. What?
Yeah.
You're dumb, and I was right half, like, so most of those.
Children take up the goals of their recently deceased parents.
Children take up the goals of their recently deceased parents.
Fallout Shelter.
No.
The Sims.
You already had your guess.
Sims 2.
Children take up the
goals. Rogue Legacy?
Sims 3.
Yes.
Ooh. Oh, I got one!
That's pretty dope.
Yeah.
All right. That's pretty dope that he got it.
Nice.
It was a very good explanation. All right. So that's the final question for tonight. So thanks to all of our patrons for asking questions. If your question got skipped, that sucks. Ask it again next week. Actually, I think we only skipped one question, and that was Zerby, because he asked two questions.
God damn it.
Zerby.
How dare you? That burp
tasted like sardines. My hand kind of smells like sardines. Crispy, do you want to smell? Okay. So that's it for the community. We will be doing a community meetup in E3. That has not been finalized yet. That will be soon, though. So stay tuned to the site and Twitter and all that stuff. We'll make sure everyone going to E3 or in the LA area knows about it before it happens.
I can tell you it's going to be in the evening, but we don't have a date. So
yeah, well, that's the hardest thing, is determining when and where, obviously. Now it's time for the four-player minute.
What's the four-player minute, Nolan?
I don't know. What's the four-player minute, Nick? Oh, no.
We're screwed.
We go around the room and we all say our hype, sweat, thank you, and our fuck you for the week.
I'll start things off. My hype goes for Odin Sphere Luftrausers, or whatever it's called.
Luftrausier?
The remake that's coming out next week. I'm pretty pumped. It's been getting really good reviews. And I'm psyched for that. My sweat is also for next week, the new Mirror's Edge. I don't know about that one.
That's next week.
Catalyst. We're going to see. I hope it's good, but it I don't know. I definitely wasn't sold on the alpha demo thing.
Yeah.
Fuck you preemptively goes to E3. I know it's going to be a shit show. I mean, every E3 is always like disappointing, right? We go in with such high hopes.
Yeah, we always Half-Life 3 is
going to be there, guys. Half-Life 3, it's time.
Dude.
I mean, it's just...
Last year, you can't say that. Last year, no.
No, it's always disappointing, man. It's fucking... Your expectations are here. And, you know, it just... You know, there's stuff here and there, but really, at the end of the day...
I don't know how you can say that.
Oh, a Final Fantasy VII remake that's coming out in 10 years. Fucking Shenmue is a goddamn Kickstarter game. And what? The Last Guardian's not dead. And what? It's still not out. When is that game coming out? Who knows? I mean, I'm just saying, surprises, but... Just a preemptive fuck you, because it's all going to be about new hardware that we're all going to have to buy for the same shit we already own, and it's going to be about VR, and fuck all that stuff. So fuck you, E3. And my thank you goes to all the lovely people in chat who kind of hang out when things are a little slow, not much is happening, but they still make an effort to try to, you know, talk to other people and keep things lively, because, you know, we need people like you. You know, it's you're the one who kind of gives our, you know, channel a pulse. And if it wasn't for you guys, you know, we probably wouldn't even be broadcasting, right? Because we need to feel like, you know, people out there want to be there, you know? Yep. So if you make an effort, you know who you are, then thank you.
Cool. All right, my four-play minute starts now. My hype is for E3, even though Brad's fuck you goes to E3. Or that was your sweat.
What was that? It's a preemptive fuck you.
Preemptive fuck you. I'm so hyped. I haven't been to LA E3 in 5 years. I'm excited to go back.
You're psyched about buying 3 new consoles?
Fuck you.
To play all that stuff you're going to see?
Fuck you. So I'm excited for that. And that kind of ties into my sweat. I don't have to buy new consoles because I have a new gaming PC kind of
That's true.
Except for a graphics card.
You have a 90% of a gaming PC.
I would say like 85.
It does take the edge off.
Quite a bit, especially of a gaming PC. The fucking 1080, you know, they came out, Founders Edition sold like hotcakes. Then reviews came out and they're like, Founders Edition isn't that great. It's got some throttling issues and blah, blah, blah. And then the fucking version I want still isn't out yet, which ties into my fuck you, because MSI tweeted about it today and they're like, oh yeah, here's an unboxing of the new graphics card. And I was like, when does it come out? And they responded to me and they were like, it'll be out soon.
They're like, we're gonna fuck you.
And I was like, what the fuck? Because I know what's gonna happen. What's gonna happen is they're gonna fucking put the graphics card on sale on June 11th at around 3:30 p.m. as soon as we get on a plane to L.A., and then I'm going to land in L.A., and I'm going to have a bunch of tweets when I turn my phone on, and they're going to be fucking sold out.
No,
I
guarantee you that's what's going to happen. Just spend the money to get internet up in the air, man.
Fuck you, Brad.
It's like $8.
Fuck you. Can we do it? And then my actual fuck you this week goes to Konami for that Metal Gear Solid Pachinko shit.
Dude, that was great.
Yeah.
That was great. My hype... It's now my four-player minute,
mm-hmm.
So I will start my four-player minute. My hype is you know what? It's for Witcher 3. I think I'm going to go home and play some of that when I get home.
Nice.
I need to pick that back up. My sweat is, you know, just the sort of finite and punishing nature of life, general existential dread sort of thing. My thank you goes to... you know what goes to E3 for giving us more badges this year, because I'm fucking stoked about going to E3. Can't fucking wait. And my fuck you this week goes to everybody on Twitter who was harassing poor Sean Murray. He's such a like shy, unassuming, humble gentleman. And everyone's giving him death threats because they pushed the game back like a month and a half.
That's ridiculous.
Guys, I am excited too. I'm as excited as anyone can be for that game, but come on.
Would you say that you're hyped for No Man's Sky?
I think I might be hyped for No Man's Sky.
Let me ask you this before you wrap up your four-player meta.
No, that was it.
Have you ever played...
Nope, it's over.
No, you can't ask me.
It's too late.
The Joe Danger?
The what?
I feel like you should play their only other game, right?
Joe Danger's a good game.
To build up hype for No Man's Sky.
That's a good game. Is that how that works?
I mean, it's a very well-reviewed game.
Wait, have you never played Joe Danger?
Never played.
Dude, it's pretty fucking good. You might really
like it. Play Hello Games' debut game. Fucking do it. You know, when Mercury Steam announced that they were going to be doing the new Castlevania game,
why are you drawing that?
Listen, motherfucker, listen. Because I did this. I'm like, they're making this game, you know, on a franchise that I love. I need to know their pedigree. So I went back and I fucking played through all of Jericho. And then I played some fucking, what was that, Scrapland as well. Like Mercury Steam has made these games. I'm going to try them out because I can't talk shit. I can't be hyped. I can't be worried unless I know their history. And that's when I started being worried. Because fuck Jericho. It's my most hated game of all time.
Are you trying to make me, like, curb my enthusiasm?
No, Joe Danger's good.
Are you hoping?
You're not fucking listening to me.
Play Joe Danger.
Joe Danger's
never fully listening to you.
Joe Danger is a beloved indie game.
Okay. All right. I'll look it up.
Chris Davis?
My four-player brand starts. Now, my hype this week, since you've already got No Man's Sky out of the way, I would say it's probably E3. Looking forward to going again this year and seeing all the wonderful games that are going to be there that are going to blow Brad's mind that he can't play.
Wait, what?
That's vindictive.
You're talking shit because I can't get to go to E3?
No, I'm talking shit because you're hating
shit. Because you're talking shit about E3.
Yeah, but you're just being
He's
rude.
He's trading shit for shit.
I can't hurt the feelings of a trade show, of a convention.
I mean, you kind of can.
My sweat this week goes to really just my time to play games right now, because we've got a bunch of... special things coming up for y'all in the lead up to E3. In addition to, you know, just working on various other things, and I don't have much time for other video games than certain ones.
Also, you play two games every E3, so I could probably go to a local Best Buy and play more E3 games than you.
Probably. Yeah.
Fuck you.
Send that to Hype? That's rude.
Hurry up, Chris Davis.
Hype, sweat. Thank you. I guess, to Nick for not being here so I can actually be on the podcast and not talk about The Division. And my fuck you this week still goes to that asshole who hit my car and cost me $1,000 in repairs. So just fuck you, you ruined my fun budget.
Jesus. Technically, you didn't have to fix your car.
You could have just kept going in and out the passenger door.
Yeah, I can go in the passenger door to climb over the console to get into the driver's side. Yeah, I could totally do that for years.
Well, that's what you get for driving a coupe.
That's what I get for parking in a parking lot.
Oh, you shouldn't park in parking lots. That's a horrible place to park.
I know, right?
That's fuck where everything that bad happens.
Well, that's it for the show tonight. I know it was a bit of a shorter one, but there wasn't a whole lot to talk about. Not unfortunately, a lot of news. Not. No one's really been playing a whole lot of new stuff. Slower week. Everything's leading up to E3. I'm sure not the next podcast, but the one after that will be the first E3 podcast. So I hope everyone's pumped and excited for that.
You should be.
I would like to say I hope that in the days from now until E3, everyone's kind of hanging around. Follow us on Twitter. We're going to be doing a lot of stuff during E3 week and the lead up to E3. Starting next Tuesday, I believe, we're going to start releasing videos every day of our top 5 most anticipated for E3.
I was trying now, to not mention those.
Why not? Well, I've already been talking about it, so cat's out of the bag. So these can be games that we think are, or we know are going to be there, games that, you know, feel like it's the right time, games that, you know, are a shot in the dark. They're going to be fun videos to watch, and throughout E3 week, I'll be broadcasting in the lead up to them going live in LA every night, kind of like a Brad's pre-show sort of thing, you know, the conferences that happen in the evening or whatever, you know, I'll watch trailers and stuff, give my thoughts, and you know, if there is a conference going on, you can watch my commentary. It's going to be an exciting week, so I encourage everybody to at the very least follow 4Player Podcast on Twitter and bookmark our website, because lots of fun festivities
and three. And because we've had such generous patrons and supporters over the years, we've actually got some new equipment that is going to be going with us this year that's going to allow us to do some pretty cool stuff.
All our content better.
Yeah. Yes,
that's the hope. So we're all excited. I hope you're excited. Thanks for listening, guys. It's been 4Player Podcast. Don't forget, you can back us on Patreon at 4playernetwork.com/Patreon.
Yep.
Follow us on Twitter at 4Player Podcast. Go write us iTunes reviews.
Hold
off on that, because that might be changing soon.
And find us on SoundCloud as well. We're on SoundCloud.
Yeah, I forgot about SoundCloud.
Yeah, do it's that. A thing. Maybe, and be sure to watch the YouTube videos.
Maybe go find our old MySpace page. Yeah. I'm just kidding. Don't do that. Yeah. But yeah, so thanks a lot, guys. Thanks for listening. I hope you all have a good one. See you next time. Woo! Good night.